It's time to get answers to all of your real estate questions. Talk 1260 KTRC presents All Things Real Estate, New Mexico's foremost live, listener-interactive real estate radio show. The phone lines are open, so call us at 505-473-5722 or email us your questions at rpost@sfrp.com. Now, here's your host, Ray Post.
Good afternoon and welcome to All Things Real Estate. I'm Ray Post with Santa Fe Realty Partners and stand ready to help you meet all of your real estate objectives. As always, I encourage you to check out some excellent companies who can help solve renovation, repair, and design issues around your own home. Just go to our website, www.santafe.realtypartners.com, click on the radio show icon, and go right to the list of real estate resource companies. Please give them a call if you need some help at the place you call home. Now, many of you have told us how much you like the fact that we provide a lot of useful and diverse real estate information with each of our Sunday shows. Today's show is no exception to this program formula, and in a moment I'm going to introduce my in-studio guest who has come armed with a lot of valuable advice and information on an interesting topic today. But first, I want to speak to a couple of resources I think you'll find interesting. This would normally be the time that Andrew Hoffman, advisor to All Things Real Estate, gives us the State of the Market report. But Andrew's off this Sunday, so I'm going to use his time to share some information with you. First, I want to invite you to check out a very popular website, none other than SantaFe.com. Now, the folks at SantaFe.com offer timely news and information for both visitors and locals about everything going on in our fair city. From the restaurant and gallery scene to a comprehensive business directory, where to shop, stay, and events to attend, SantaFe.com has it all. You can even check out current real estate trends and property listings offered by the company I work for, Santa Fe Realty Partners. With informative and entertaining articles authored by local writers, you'll find all you need at SantaFe.com. So check out their website today and share the address with all of your out-of-town friends. Once again, that's SantaFe.com. Also, I want to let you know about a new online All Things Real Estate newsletter you can get for free each month. Just go to our website, www.SantaFeRealtyPartners.com, click on the radio show icon, and look for the button that tells you to view the new online newsletter. If you give us your email address, we'll add you to the list of thousands of readers who are enjoying the articles on timely real estate trends and information each month in our free newsletter. As always, we have a lot going on with the show today, so please sit back and enjoy All Things Real Estate here on Talk 1260 KTRC. You can also email me, Ray Post, with your questions and comments by sending your message to rpost@sfrp.com. So to kick the show off, I would like to welcome Dina Major, co-principal with her husband Jeff, and one of Santa Fe's premier developers and home builders, Major Development Incorporated. With more than 15 years of experience, Major Development Incorporated has helped scores of very satisfied Santa Feans build new homes, convert garages into living spaces, and build guest houses. Now, today, Dina is going to bring some very valuable information to us regarding the types, costs, and features of various plaster options for home interior finishes. Welcome to the show, Dina. It's nice to have you back.
Thanks, Ray. Great to be here.
And we need to move the mic just a little closer. Oh, you got to...
Okay.
All right, there you go.
Now, thanks, Ray.
Now, I've noticed that a couple times, Gino Thompson, that mic sometimes has a bad thing on it. Do we... It's a connection. Okay. See, a bad thing is...
That was technical.
That was very technical, right? Anyway, Dina Major has been on the show before, and we've talked about a variety of issues. But again, today we're going to be all things plaster. So I guess what I want to do is start off by saying, what are the different types of plaster finishes that people might be able to choose from?
Okay. I'm going to go detail and yet try to keep this simple. And the reason I'm heading towards this topic, Ray, and the reason I chose this topic, I should say, is I was on a month or so ago, and we talked about finishes in general, mm-hmm. and just gently glazed over
good
plaster.
Good use of the word glaze.
Yeah, glazed over the plaster options, and I received several emails and a few phone calls.
Really?
Yes, I did.
So people are listening to the show.
They are listening.
maybe just next Sunday you were
on. So they wanted me to clarify. So, excuse me, let's talk about some different types of plaster. The most traditional one that you see around town is the full three-coat plaster. Well, it could be a two-coat plaster, but it's gypsum-based. There's usually several layers to it. You can put a couple of different finishes on top of it, mm-hmm. the diamond finish, the structolite finish. We'll get more into those here as we progress. Mm-hmm. But that is your full rounded corners, you know, or very sharply squared corners. We also have veneer plasters. A lot of you out there are probably familiar with Venetian plaster. That is also a mud or gypsum-based plaster, so it's a similar material that we use to the three-coat, but it is a single-coat process. Mm-hmm. There is a primer that's put on drywall, and it's put on top of it. Or something very exciting we've used in several of our projects of late over at 933 Alto Street is another veneer, but it's a synthetic. It's an acrylic veneer. And it's made by a company called Variance. Mm-hmm. And there's different pros and cons. Again, we'll get into those. But you can use an acrylic veneer now as well. And then I'm sure several of our listeners are also used to or are accustomed with the natural plaster out there, which is called American clay, which was formulated here in Santa Fe and is sold out of this region of the country.
So those are really the four major categories of plaster, right?
Within reason, yes.
Yeah. Now, we were talking in the green room before the show started mm-hmm. About the history of plaster, and as I was reading from my notes here, it says that if your home is older and built before the 1950s, chances are it contains plaster walls and ceilings. Has that been your experience?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And as you and I were talking, that's all over the country. That's right. Not just here in Santa Fe, because this was used as your structure, your walls. It was used in lieu of, you know, your sheetrock.
Right.
You know, we didn't have those then. They weren't just nailing up all these sheetrock boards. So
right.
They were using plaster.
And part of that, we were talking about this as well, Dina, is that when plaster first came out, just like sheetrock, it was pretty basic. I mean, it today, and we're going to talk about this, 50 years later, with all the styles and textures and colors and everything, this has really been sort of a reaction to what consumers wanted. Hey, if we have to live with plaster, we want to make sure that it has a lot more appeal from a visual standpoint.
Absolutely.
Right?
It's got some oomph, some interest. It didn't originally. It was strictly structural.
Okay. And so this is your show, Dina, so I'm just going to be riding along here with Gino. But I guess maybe the point is that with these four fundamental types of plaster, is there one that's predominantly used here in New Mexico?
Well, I think the most common by far is your traditional three-coat, gypsum-based. When I say gypsum-based, that means concrete-based. That's basically what we're talking
about. Which is
about.
The same as drywall.
Yes, it is. But your traditional three-coat plaster, gypsum-based, is what you see the most often. Mm. It's very labor-intensive. The materials are not that expensive, but it is extremely labor-intensive. It is all hand trowels, you know, applied by hand. There's an enormous amount of work to work it. And your base coats are rough, they're coarser, they have more sand in them, mm-hmm. so that your top coat can adhere to them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we see most commonly here. Most common in terms of top coats, we have a structolite finish or a diamond finish.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready for me to get into some of the differences?
Like I said, it's your show. You call the shots on what you want to talk about.
I don't want to mess up your format.
No.
Okay. So your structolite, in terms of cosmetically, what does it look like? The structolite is more earthy. It's very soft. It's more, it's mottled. You don't usually see color added to structolite. The color of the structolite is what you have.
Mm-hmm.
It ranges from a kind of a tan, beige, cream, even into some soft pink tones. I do have structolite in a house that we have on the market at 1265 Cerro Gordo. Certainly call me if you'd like to take a look at it and see how it ranges, because it does naturally have a lot of range to it. Another finish for your traditional three-coat system is called diamond finish. The diamond finish tends to go a little more contemporary. It's slick. It has a sheen to it. If it's applied properly, it
should have a lot of houses out here. I see diamond finish.
Diamond's the most common, I think, out here.
Yeah.
Structolite is certainly more rustic. The exciting thing about diamond is there is a gentleman in town who makes finish or colors that can be added to diamond. Huh. So you could actually have very strong, very light, very subtle colors added to your diamond finish. Diamond still is mottled. It still has some variation in it, but it does have a natural sheen to it.
Mm-hmm.
I have a house on Artist Road and one on Cerro Gordo, both of which are on the market. I'd be happy to show them to you that use diamond finish with different colors in them. The one on Artist Road is a real warm, creamy one, so you wouldn't really guess that there's colors in it. The diamond finish I have is an example up on Cerro Gordo. Actually has a, I have several colors. I have a terracotta color, so it's a real rich, earthy, dark red that I've used as an accent wall. I also have in my daughter's room an eggplant color plaster wall. It's spectacular. It's gorgeous. It's real rich.
And the color variations, is that done by mixing pigments or what? I mean, how do you do that?
Okay, everyone's different in how they do it. The gentleman I work with here in town, he makes a dry pigment. It's a dry powder. It's actually mixed bag for bag to the diamond plaster, so one bag of color for one bag of diamond plaster. It's very easy and foolproof for plasterers, so they're not having to mix it themselves. They're not having to add pigment themselves.
I see.
They take a Ziploc baggie of powder, they add it to a bag of diamond finished plaster, and they combine the two before they add the moisture.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's pretty foolproof. And Rob can make you just about any color you want. I mean, I've seen them all over the gambit. So it's fun to work with.
Well,
it's fun to work with.
Well, I'll tell you what, Dina, we're going to take a quick break here on All Things Real Estate. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation about all things plaster. You've laid the foundation for the listeners today. We're going to get in a little bit more deeply in the next segment, so please stay tuned. We'll be back in a minute.
1260 KTRC.
Welcome back to All Things Real Estate. This is Ray Post with Santa Fe Realty Partners, and today we're talking about all things plaster with my in-studio guest, Dina Major, co-principal of Major Development Incorporated, one of the premier home builders here in Santa Fe. Before we go back into our conversation, I'd like to remind you that Lenson's Incorporated, a family-owned and operated business, has been offering fabrics and custom upholstery services for more than 30 years. If you haven't been to Lenson's showroom, I suggest you stop by the Santa Fe Institution and check out the more than 450 lines of fabric, custom bedding, and upholstery services they have to offer. Lenson's is a major destination for interior designers, decorators, and Santa Fe homeowners, and it ships its products to clients all over the world. Lenson's is located at 1305 Cerrillos Road, and I encourage you to stop by and say hello to our friend, Loopy Lenson, and her helpful staff. Lenson's for all your fabric and custom upholstery needs. Again, back to Dina Major. We were framing for the listening audience the four fundamental types of plaster, and you started talking about the three-coat process. Continue on. There's three more to go.
Okay, so wrapping up the three-coat, if you are someone that likes the very thick, rounded corners or the very sharp angled corners at the windows or that kind of detail, the three coat is your best system there, as well as obviously a construction source that will give you the mass and the depth that you need, whether it is adobe or large wood framing or an insulated concrete form. But that mass, in addition to the three coat system, can give you those really thick, big corners. That's your three coat system. If you are looking for another option, there is the veneer system that we're seeing a lot now.
That's also gypsum-based, though, right?
The Venetian veneer is gypsum-based.
Okay.
It is. And so very similar in product to very similar in product to, well, you can actually get a Venetian base or cover, top coat that looks like Structolite, and you can get one that looks like diamond finish. So you can go either way.
Which are more the three-coat process.
Which are more the three-coat process. But they're not. You're not going to have the massing. Because what happens is you don't have all the base coats in a Venetian plaster.
Now, why would someone, I have this dumb question maybe, but why would someone choose the veneer over the massing of a three-coat? Because
it's less expensive.
That's a good place to start.
And that's your main area. Not necessarily in terms of product. The product tends to be less expensive in your three-coat system, but there's so much labor, and there's no shortcut around the labor if you want it done properly. There really isn't. When you get into the veneers, particularly the gypsum-based veneer, the Venetian, you don't have all that labor. They roll on a primer onto your sheetrock. When I say they roll it on like you roll on paint.
Really?
Yes. You do have to have your sheetrock finished to a certain level. It's actually called a level 3 finish. To kind of give you a feel for that, a level 5 finish sheetrock is when it's completely sanded smooth. There's not a blip in the sheetrock finish. You've had tape, you've had mud, it's sanded, tape, mud, sand, tape, mud, sand.
Wow.
I mean, level five is super smooth. That's not required in a Venetian plaster.
And they take it to level three
for application of veneer
because if you have it too rough, then the veneer will not apply. Is that it?
Well, yes, and you need to seal your joints because with the Venetian veneer, which is your gypsum based,
right,
it still is prone to cracking.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, you don't have as much labor and going on. You don't have the massing that you get with the three coats, but it will crack.
Dina, you just like that show you were on, we're starting to get emails. I just got one from Sally. Ray, my husband and I are building an addition to our house using a portion of our oversized three-car garage. Could Dina please tell me why I should consider using plaster over drywall for the interior of the space?
Okay, my answer to that predominantly is going to be based on budget and as well as cosmetic interest. And Sally, it depends on what you're wanting to create there. And let me also say it depends on what you have in your main house.
Mm.
If you have a full three-coat plaster in your main house and this addition flows and feels attached to the main house, my advice would be to stay with that.
For consistency's
sake. Right,
right.
For consistency's sake, for reseal. You don't want your addition to feel like an addition. You want it to feel like the original part of the house.
And I should also point out, because you used that word resale, is that Dina Major is also an associate broker at Santa Fe Realty Partners. So not only does she offer you this helpful tip, Sally, about using plaster effectively, but she also is thinking like a realtor for you down the road, and maybe you, Sally, will be selling that house at some point, so take that counsel to the bank, right? Anyway, I interrupted you, but I want
no,
to...
No, that's okay.
Go ahead. You're going into veneer.
So I'm going into veneer, and Sally, back to you just to wrap that up. It really also depends on budget, and the Venetian is less expensive than the three-coat. Plaster, as a general rule, is more expensive than drywall and paint. But you do need to make sure that it flows and feels a part of the main original house,
mm-hmm.
again, for resale. Finishing up veneer, I want to talk a little bit about a new option, a relatively new option out there, and it is an acrylic veneer. And the acrylic veneer, I work with a company named Variance. There may be more out there. Variance is in Albuquerque. Again, I'll invite you to contact me, and I'm happy to show you our listings over at 933 Alto Street. I have used probably five different finishes of Variance acrylic veneer plaster in these houses, and they are very exciting. It is more expensive than your gypsum veneer. You do have one primer coat, as you do in a gypsum veneer. You
mm-hmm.
don't have the super thick massing that you have in the three coats. But they have a lot of finishes and a lot of colors, and you can do a lot of exciting things with it. And the acrylic does not crack, and you can wipe it off. You can wipe it off with a damp cloth.
Mm.
It's easier to maintain.
I want you to hold your thought on that because I want to go back to the acrylic veneer in a second. But, Gino Thompson, we've reached that point in the show when it's time once again for our legal topic of the week, brought to us by the Reuben Katz Law Firm. This week, attorney Melanie McGilvery will shed some light on what the standard title exceptions are and what a buyer should request be deleted from the title insurance policy that they obtain when closing on the purchase of a home. An owner's policy of title insurance gives a buyer title coverage for the property purchased, but takes exception to certain matters such as easements and protective covenants, which are disclosed during the purchase process. Now, exception items 1 through 4 are what are commonly referred to as the standard exceptions on a New Mexico owner's policy of title insurance. Standard exception number 1 may be deleted when the title company is satisfied that there are no parties in possession of a property other than those claiming rights through the public record. There is no cost to delete this exception, provided that the title company receives an acceptable current survey of the property. Standard exception number 2 may be deleted when the title company is satisfied after being provided with a survey that there are no easements or claims of easements affecting the insured property other than those shown in the public record. There is also no cost to delete this exception. Now, standard exception number 3 may be deleted upon the title company's acceptance of a current survey of the property. The cost to delete this exception is 15% of the full premium rate. Lastly, standard exception number 4 may be deleted in all construction on the property, if all construction on the property and the statutory period for filing contractor liens has expired. The cost to delete this exception is $25. However, when new construction is involved and construction of the improvements is fully completed and the period for filing liens has not yet expired, this exception may be deleted at a cost of $3 per $1,000 of the construction cost based on the face amount of the policy. Gino, are you following this? Attorney Melanie McGilvery advises that additional exceptions may be deleted from the title insurance policy, and certain endorsements to policies are also available. As always, consult a real estate professional to assist in maximizing the title insurance available to you. Thanks once again to Melanie McGilvery for providing us with an excellent legal topic of the week. If you have your own legal questions regarding exceptions to title insurance, and this is complicated, but it's important to you as a buyer, please go to our website, www.santafe.realtypartners.com. Click on the radio show icon and then go right to the Reuben Katz Law Firm logo and call them and ask for Melanie. She's a fabulous attorney and always provides us with great commentary. Gino Thompson, let's take a break here on all things real estate. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Dina Major about all things planning. Welcome back to All Things Real Estate. This is Ray Post with Santa Fe Realty Partners. And before we get back into our program here with Dina Major of Major Development Incorporated, I want to tell you folks that I always am advising my clients that they should be thoughtful in their choice of a realtor, lender, and other real estate professionals to work with. And you should be just as discriminating in your choice of a title insurance company. My top recommendation, Fidelity National Title Insurance Company, of course. You see, Fidelity National is the nation's giant of title insurance companies with a personal Santa Fe approach. Their services are customized to meet the particular needs of each and every person and property. With Fidelity, your transaction runs smooth and safe and with no surprises. So choose experienced, knowledgeable professionals to assist you with your real estate questions and transaction needs. Call my friends at Team Fidelity at 505-995-8800 or email them at their free and confidential question and customer service department. That is santafe@fnf.com. Choose wisely. Choose Fidelity. I know you'll appreciate the difference. Dina Major, we've been talking about plaster issues. You're on your BlackBerry. Are you sending a message to a client?
I was answering one.
Oh, okay. Anyway, we've talked about three coat process. We've talked about veneer. You were talking about acrylic as one of the new dogs on the street. You want to finish up with that?
Yes, one of the new options really out there is the acrylic. It is more expensive than your traditional Venetian veneer, which is your gypsum veneer. However, it does give you the option of a lot of different finishes that I have not seen in the Venetian. And by finishes, I mean literally textures, not just a color scheme or a feel like diamond plaster or Structolite, but they have a Tuscan finish, which, if you will, literally think of Tuscany and those walls that literally have texture to them, and they have several other finishes. So the variance is a fun product to work with. Mm-hmm. Again, I have probably five different examples of finishes at our properties at 933 Alto. Mm-hmm. Happy to show them to you. I'm a visual person. I think a lot of people out there are. You really do need to look at them. But the acrylic does not crack. It can be wiped down with water. It does not stain in the way that the gypsum-based ones do. Mm-hmm. It's much easier to maintain and repair. The gypsum-based plasters, you basically need a faux painter to repair. If you really damage the gypsum, whether it's full three-coat or veneer.
And you're going to get those stress cracks in the three-coat and veneer plaster, right?
In the gypsum-based veneer, not in the acrylic,
right.
Yes.
And you were telling me in the green room again before the show that one of the fundamental differences between traditional plaster and the acrylic is that the labor involved in acrylic is much less expensive or less expensive than it is in the traditional one, but the price of the product might be higher, correct?
That's correct. The acrylic, the price is definitely higher in the acrylic in terms of the actual material. You don't need as much of it because, I mean, you're not having quite the amount of layers. And you don't have near the labor, and the labor cost is very high in your traditional three coat.
But if it all sort of evens out between traditional being more expensive with labor and acrylic being more expensive with product, but it evens out at the end of the day, Is it you as a purist, as a homeowner, the choice between both the three coat or veneer, or excuse me, or acrylic, or what are the other reasons?
Well, it's not quite. First of all, let me. The veneer people are going to, or the acrylic variants are going to get upset with me. If
I don't want to get you
this.
In trouble.
You
want to go off air?
If you're listening, there, really. Disclaimer here. The acrylic veneer.
Right.
Is not more expensive than the standard three coat unless it's not even equal in expense to the standard three coat unless you start getting into the more detailed finishes. Your basic acrylic veneer plaster is still less expensive than a three coat, even once you adjust out material cost versus labor cost.
I see.
Where the acrylic becomes equal in cost, if you will, to a full three coat, is when you get into, they have some fancier, really spectacular finishes, textured finishes, that actually require three different coats of the acrylic. Well, then you're getting up there in the coats and the application again, mm-hmm. so your labor cost is getting up there again. So, but I need to be clear, it's not always the same cost.
Right.
It depends on what you're doing.
I see. You know what, Dina, let's hold a thought on the plaster thing right now, because at this point in the show, I'm actually going to shift gears a little bit and introduce and interview a special guest to the program. I have Michael Johns on the line, who is the Santa Fe Sales Associate with Consolidated Solar Technologies and is heading up their Renewable Energy Finance District program, which he's going to talk to us about today. It's exciting news. Good afternoon, Michael. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Ray. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Well, we're doing fine, and I know you have been peppering me over the last couple of months with emails about this exciting program. Why don't you tell the listeners about what it's all about?
Well, basically, this is a program that was started in Berkeley, California, and has also been implemented in Boulder, Colorado, and it's now coming to Santa Fe County. And basically, the last legislative session, 2009, state of New Mexico, there was two bills drafted. Senate Bill 647, which is the Renewable Energy Financing District Act, and House Bill 572, and that's the Solar Energy Improvement Special Assessment Act. And both those bills were implemented and passed and signed by Governor Richardson. And Santa Fe County took the initiative and has since voted October 27th to move forward with the plan. And basically, it's a great way for homeowners that live in the county to implement a renewable energy project, be it PV electric, solar thermal, wind, geothermal, and you kind of roll the entire cost of the system onto your property taxes over a 20-year assessment.
Mm-hmm. And so if I was out there and I was interested in taking advantage of this program, and it is in place right now, right?
They're working out the final details. We expect the money to be available for the public. Initially, we hope it's going to be around $10 million mid to late December. Mm-hmm. Santa Fe politics being what they are, it could be pushed back to January, but it has been passed. It has been approved. We're going to have a private lender put up the money, mm-hmm. and the county will distribute that money to a homeowner. And unlike a home equity loan or a personal loan, there's no money required down. All you have to be to qualify, not even a credit check, is to be a Santa Fe County homeowner and to be up to date on your property taxes.
Okay, so let's assume that the fine print is now done. It's law. It's now a program that's available to people. How can I take advantage of that as an owner here in Santa Fe County?
Definitely visit the Santa Fe County website. They will be updating that. And under the website, go under departments. And under growth management and under the land use department, you'll find renewable energy projects. And there'll be information there. There's information there now. You can contact Duncan Sill, who's the coordinator, and that's dsill, S-I-L-L, at santafecounty.org. You'll see his email address on the website. Basically, it's not quite ready yet, but we hope, like I said, in about 6 to 8 weeks it'll be ready. There'll be an application process. You'll go through the application process. The initial amount of money will be capped just to make sure the program runs smoothly. Then we'll try to refinance it again. It'll be mostly residential. There will be some money allotted for light commercial. We know it's going to definitely be PV electric and solar thermal. And like I said, we're hoping for a little bit of wind and geothermal as well.
Okay, but Michael, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but just for the benefit of someone out there that this is all brand new information,
sure.
and I want to be a good citizen and take advantage of money that's available to me, and also, you know, do the right thing and involve myself in alternative energy, what does it mean to me as a homeowner to get involved in this program? And what am I going to save money? What am I getting out of this?
Well, you're definitely going to be going green. You're going to be reducing your carbon footprint. You're going to increase the value of your home, and you're going to do it without putting any money up front. Your property taxes will go up every month a little bit, but that's going to be offset by the fact that you're eliminating your electric or a good portion of your gas bill. And with PNM on PV Electric, you will be getting money back from PNM as well. So definitely going green, reducing your carbon footprint is a key factor, contributing to renewable energy as well, but also increasing the value of your home. And eventually you will be saving quite a bit of money over the course of the system.
Well, it's an excellent summary and sort of a no-brainer. You guys have been working hard on making this happen. I know Consolidated Solar Technologies will be deep into this once the program is in place.
Yeah.
And, Michael, for anyone that's interested, again, they should go to the county's website. Is there? It sounds like they have to go through a little bit of button pushing to get to the right person, but is there is a place there that's talking about this program?
Yeah,
right?
There's SantaFeCounty.org is the main website.
Mm-hmm.
Under growth management, you'll see Land Use Department Renewable Energy Projects. But also on their main page, there's a Hot Topics button that you can hit, and you'll find renewable energy projects under there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, just kind of keep your eye on the program. We do expect that once the money does become available, it will be gone very quickly. There will be an application process. They're working the details of that out now. But definitely keep your eye on it. And like I said, there's no loan involved. The other beautiful thing about this project is the cost of your renewable energy project is on your property taxes for what we believe and hope to be is a 20-year period, maybe a 7.5% interest, but that will be tax deductible. So it's basically financing for no interest, no money up front. And the other beautiful thing about the program is if and when you do sell your home, you are not responsible, like a loan, for the balance. It is shifted to the new homeowner.
Interesting. That's sort of like buying a co-op back east. They shift over the special assessment to the next.
Absolutely. It's a great way to get off fossil fuels, go green, without killing your pocketbook or signing up for a big loan. So I think if you're going to sell your home in a few years and you want to increase the value, or if you're a new homeowner and you're going to be in your home for a while and you want to save money on energy costs,
right,
which we estimate going up 5 to 6% at least a year, it's a great program.
Michael Johns, you're an enthusiastic proponent of this. Great job in explaining it to our listeners. I'm sure people will be on the lookout for it, taking advantage of it. Listen, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Back to Dina Major, my in-studio guest today. We're talking about, we don't really have to shift things around here, don't we?
That's an exciting bill.
That
though.
Is an
that
exciting
is very,
program.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
I think it's terrific.
Yeah, and it's going to benefit a lot of people. We've got about 2 minutes, a minute or so before we tell you what, Genotypes, let's go ahead and take a break now, and then we'll come back. We'll give the extra time to Dina at the other end of the segment. So stay tuned. We'll be back here on All Things Real Estate. Welcome back to All Things Real Estate. This is Ray Post with Santa Fe Realty Partners, and by the sound of that music, you know that we're up to the Open House of the Week segment brought to you by the Los Alamos National Bank. Today I have my colleague from Santa Fe Realty Partners on the line. I have Dana Cooper. Good afternoon, Dana. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Ray?
I'm doing fine, and today you're going to be talking about the virtues of 3 Rabbit Brush Road, where you're going to be doing an open house this afternoon, so you've got 2 minutes to sell everybody
okay.
on it. Go ahead.
All right. Actually, that's 13 Rabbit Brush
Road. What did I say it was?
3.
Sorry.
No, sorry.
I'm looking at the 13. I said 3. Sorry.
Yeah, the home I'm featuring and holding open today is 13 Rabbit Brush Road in La Mirada. That's between Aldea and Las Campanas, just northwest of downtown. This home is the essence of Santa Fe living. It's wonderful indoor-outdoor entertaining options. There are 3 separate portal patio areas. This property is elaborately landscaped, and the entry to this home invites you down a path of flagstone to beautiful carved wooden doors. On entering, you'll find a lovely great room with large traditional plaster fireplace that is just a lead into an expansive and beautiful floor plan. For entertaining, one of the best features is an amazing custom kitchen with Wolf Range Sub-Zero refrigerator, separate beverage drawers, and 2 wine coolers, all with granite countertops and a counter bar that could accommodate up to 8 or more people. There are gorgeous imported hand-blown Venetian lighting over the kitchen island. Everyone that's seen this kitchen is awed by it. There's also a spacious pantry for all the entertaining you'll want to do with kitchen area like this. It opens to large dining room on one side and family room on the other. There's also a light, bright studio off the garage that is approximately 300 square feet. The home has a nice-sized office and a master suite that opens to one of the portales. There are also two more bedrooms and baths. This home showcases art and collectibles extremely well and has custom-built etagères for that purpose. Both inside and out, it's a masterpiece for entertaining and showcasing the Santa Fe lifestyle that we're here for. This home is a total of 3,900 square feet. The asking price is $975. I should mention also it's a 2.5-acre horse property. This is a small pocket of homes in the area that does allow horses. This home is worth seeing, and I hope your listeners will join me for my open house. The easiest route to get there is 599 to the La Tierra exit to the West Frontage Road and down to Aldea. Take Avenida Aldea through to La Vida Trail, then right on La Serena and left on Rabbit Brush, only about 15 minutes from downtown. Directions are in the New Mexican Open House pages or on our website, www.sfrp.com, or you can call me at 670-6377.
Well, Dana, that was incredibly thorough summary. I have no questions don't go away yet.
Okay.
Other than to remind people that you're going to be there from 1 to 3 today. And I really encourage folks to go out there. I just had a client who bought something in that general area and loves the neighborhood, so I wish you well.
It's a beautiful area, yeah.
Fabulous property, and particularly with that horse property amenity, that makes it quite attractive,
doesn't it?
Yeah,
that makes it a nice feel, yes.
Anyway, Dana Cooper, thank you so much for being on All Things Real Estate. Good
Ray,
luck.
Thank you.
And listen, if you're out there driving around, please stop by and see my friend Dana Cooper. She will be there from 1 to 3. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks, Ray.
Right.
She's gone. That was a very thorough summary. I'm impressed by that, and that sounds like a great property, doesn't it?
It sounds absolutely beautiful, and I have to tell you, my stomach's about to growl listening to that kitchen.
Oh.
I was like ready to go and dying.
Well, you only have about 10 minutes, but then you can go get something to eat. Anyway, let's go back to my guest here on the show today. We're talking about All Things Plaster with Dina Major from Major Development Incorporated. And we were talking in the last segment, whenever that was, it seems like 1,000 years ago, we were talking about the last touches on acrylic and veneer. And is there anything else you want to wrap up on that?
Really, let me just clarify in terms of cost and kind of give the listeners some ballparks. I know, because I do know people want that information. A little disclaimer before I do so. Mm-hmm. These are ballparks. Yeah. Numbers do vary depending upon your actual job, depending upon what you're doing. And also, of course, depending upon the contractor that you're working with and the plaster subcontractor you may be working with. So these are ballparks. I don't want anybody.
No one's going to hold you to it.
But a three-coat system, because it is more labor-intensive, even though the material is not as expensive, usually runs anywhere from $27 to $35 a yard.
Mm-hmm.
Your veneers usually run anywhere from $23 to $27 a yard.
Okay.
So that can actually make a difference in a full house, particularly if you're doing a whole house.
Right.
If you are doing just the common living areas, or maybe just the common living areas and the master or something like that,
mm-hmm.
if you're breaking up the areas that you're doing plaster in, then, you know, maybe it doesn't become as budget specific for you. But if you are trying to do a whole house in that, most of us are working on a budget, regardless of what that budget is, how little or how large it may be. We're on a budget.
Did you already say one of the questions that you had given to me to ask you, which is an excellent question, is can you blend all these different types of plasters?
Yes, you absolutely may. And that kind of gets back to Sally asking about her addition earlier in the show. You may blend the plasters. I have done so in several properties. Again, I invite you to call me. I'm happy to show them to you. On my listing at Cerro Gordo, I have blended Structolite with diamond finish colored plaster. At the properties at 933 Alto, I have blended the acrylic veneer plaster with paint in certain areas.
Now, do you make this call, though, or do some consumers say, I want Venetian and acrylic and, you know, natural or not?
Absolutely they make. Yeah. Well, when I work with buyers on their custom projects, when it's not a speculative project we're doing, when I work with buyers on their personal projects, I walk them through this process up front and in advance. And I do have so many projects I can show them, these are your options. This is how it blends, and this is what does work. This is what I found doesn't work. And I can take them through all that, and we work it into their budget.
To go to something you were just talking about, pricing, I got another email. Hi, Ray, for resale purposes, what is the best type of plaster to use on a home renovation? In other words, which type gives me the best bang for my buck? Now, that's probably hard to answer, isn't it? But thank you, Bill, for that question.
Yeah, and it's a good question, Bill. And I'll tell you, that kind of depends on the price point of the house.
Yeah.
I would say once you get up, to Ray, play this with me, jump into this game any point you want. But I'm going to say once you get over 800,000, certainly, 750, 800, they do expect the full three coat system.
Yeah, gotcha.
Maybe not in the guest bedrooms. Maybe you do a three coat system everywhere else, and you do a veneer in there.
Right.
You know, so there are ways to play it.
Right.
But I think there is a certain price point where they expect the full three coat system.
And actually, as a realtor too, Dina, you can speak to Bill's question because in this particular market, where buyers still are king.
Oh boy, yes.
Bill needs to, I think what he really needs to do is, here's a perfect example where he could strategize not only with the associate broker, Dina Major, but also the person who knows plaster of Major Development Incorporated. And particularly on this, if they're doing renovations, they want to be very, very strategic in what they do to make sure that at the price point it does appeal to that constituency out there. So the message here is that you've got to be very careful about these, particularly in this current market, correct?
Without a doubt. So call Major Development.
I guess that was a commercial for you.
Give us the call. I'll give myself a plug there.
Yeah.
You do want to be careful. You want to make sure that the remodel or addition or whatever it is you're doing, Bill, certainly serves your purposes and your enjoyment of the house, but you want to make sure that it's smart in the market and you get the return on it as well.
Well, and maybe a good plug here, too, is because you've talked about a number of your listings for Bill and other people that are thinking about doing renovations. They should maybe call you so that you can actually show them several of your properties to show them the different styles, looks, textures, and the like.
I'd love to do that, and I have an exciting promotion actually going on just this week, starting tomorrow.
Absolutely.
I'm going to give us a plug there. I am just rolling out a new unit. I'm just finishing at 933 Alto.
Mm-hmm.
It is 1,950 square feet. It's a three-bedroom, two-bath, or two-and-a-half-bath, rather, with two-car garage right downtown. I am doing a price reduction on this next week, and it's an exciting unit. It has a real spa feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how else to explain that. Really rich, dark wood, earthy travertine floors, and real clean, crisp veneer plaster, acrylic plaster walls.
Mm.
It's spectacular. It's just so soothing from the moment you walk in the door. What I'm doing, because I want to get lots of people walking in that door,
mm-hmm.
Everyone who comes to see it next week, I'm putting your name in a drawing for $100 cash.
Wow.
Holiday shopping or dining money,
however you want to hear that, Gino?
Gino, I expect to see you next week, Gino. I'm actually going to have an open house at this property next Sunday the 15th from 1 to 4 at 933 Alto. You'll see it in the paper. You'll see the $100 drawing in there.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to wait till next weekend. You can call me this week or email me this week.
Give your phone number because we haven't given it out yet.
Okay. I'm at 920-7060.
And just for the benefit of people, most everybody knows where Alto Street is, but what a little bit more description of the address of this property you're talking about.
Okay. 933 Alto is basically across from the Casa Solana Center. It sits right on the Santa Fe River, right on the River Walk there.
Mm-hmm.
It is walking distance downtown at the plaza, walking distance to the rail yard. And I'm just around near the intersection of St. Francis and Alameda to give people a feel if you're not familiar with the town.
Which is a great location, easy to get to, DeVargas Shopping Mall. You're close to downtown. I mean,
you're close to everything. You're right across the street from the co-op. The people who live there love that because you have the the grocery co-op right across the street there. It's terrific to get to. You have the big park right there down the road,
mm-hmm.
which is amazing. They have incredible trails, tennis courts, the whole nine yards. It's a neat neighborhood. It's a very neat, neat neighborhood. And this is a great opportunity for you to see the different plasters as well as get your name in a drawing for $100.
I think that's a great offer. We've got about a minute left here, Dina. So summarize 1, 2, 3, the points you want to leave with the listeners today about all things plaster.
All things plaster. They really do vary in terms of cost, cosmetic feel, look, and the amount of time and energy involved with applying them. So if you are looking at plastering, you're looking at remodeling, please do call Major Development. You can reach me on my cell directly at 920-7060. You may call our business line at 955-9787 or go to www.majordevelopment.net. But certainly contact us. There's a lot to consider as well as your money investment, but your return on investment as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of good information today. Thank you, Dina, for being on the show today. You provided a great incentive to people to get a hold of you, look at your properties where you have great examples of plaster use. So I want to thank Dina Major for bringing lots of useful information to the show today. Thank you, Gino Thompson, as always, my producer, and Kate and Jane back at Santa Fe Realty Partners for producing a terrific program. And thank you for tuning in today, and please give us a call at 989-8900 if you need some real estate assistance. So until next Sunday at noon right here on 1260 KTRC, I send you good luck and fortune in all things real estate.